everybody. Welcome to Game Goose. Today is February 1st, 2022. This is Season 4, Episode 15. My name is Dan Curry. Hello, everyone. I'm joined with my co-hosts, Neil Brower and Clinton Brower. How are you folks?
I'm doing good. I don't think you've ever introduced us as co-hosts. That's fun.
Or should it?
How are you, Clinton?
I'm doing well.
If you're not co-hosts, what are you?
COVID.
Right, just some guys you talk to and record, I guess.
Your pals.
And I'd like to introduce
We're
the two people
regular
here
contributors.
Right, yeah. But I'd like to introduce the two guys I have here, because it'd be weird if I was talking to myself. We are in Michigan battening down the hatches. You guys got your hatches battened?
Don't have any battens.
I don't have any hatches.
You're not hatching any battens ever, battens any hatches.
I'm gonna leave all my hatches unbattened. I forgot my battens.
Oh no. The snowstorm's gonna get ya.
You know, I don't think I know what I've never used batten in any other sentence.
I think it's like a latch. Or it's like a probably like a verb. To use
a long, flat strip of squared wood or metal used to hold something in place or fastening against a wall. Welcome to the vocabulary podcast, where someone says a word and somebody else looks it up.
There we go.
Well, Dan, what games have you been playing?
I haven't been playing anything new, really. Neil and I have been playing more of Everybody Saves the World.
Nobody saves the world.
Nobody saves the world, not everybody.
That's the twist.
Still really fun, and it's a game that gets like more fun as you go. I feel like when we first started playing it, Neil and I were talking about it. I was like, this is fun, but it's not great. But as we unlocked more and more forms, it became way more fun. I thought it was really fun.
It builds on itself really nicely, and mm-hmm. then the options are endless, and the only grind comes in with like there might be a character that you're not so fond of, but. You know, spend some time leveling them up so that other people can steal their better abilities and like level them up so you can level up their abilities. And all of a sudden you have, you know, you got 16, 18 flavors to choose from with 7, 8 things to swap out on everybody. And it's a really fun kind of cocktail of game mechanics. And each character does feel pretty different than the other ones.
Yeah, there's not really any characters that I feel like are redundant.
The only thing I'd say is I would not want to play it alone. Not that it's not, you know, I'm sure some people enjoy it that way and that's fine. But I just think it's kind of too repetitive to... I wouldn't play Diablo alone either. I should say that.
Yeah.
I think the fun comes in with experimenting with your friends, and it's also kind of got the Borderlands energy to it. It's a little more clean than Borderlands, but... I don't know. It's more of an experience because it's certainly not like a revolutionary game. It's something fun to play with a bud.
So a part of it that I really, really like as well is like Neil and I were doing all these side quests and all these like optional dungeons. And I was very nervous that we were going to get over leveled and then the game would get really boring. But that did not happen at all. Like doing all the optional stuff and everything we run across has actually kept us probably right about on par with where we need to be, and we still run into stuff that's too high a level and need to back up and go level up somewhere else. So it's not like really nervous that was going to happen to us. Like Borderlands, we had to skip every side quest because we would get over leveled, and that sucked. And this one like is perfect. So
yeah, it's a really fun game. You guys should check it out.
Definitely
play it with a friend.
Played a little bit of Fate Tactics as well. Still a really fun game. Probably talk more about it later. And I got back into Halo for a brief moment. They added a new mode, which I really like. They had a little neon event thing, which I wasn't crazy about, but the new mode they added is fun. It's called Attrition, where each team has a certain amount of lives. You deplete those lives, and then after that, when they can't respawn, they can be revived by teammates, and you got to wipe their whole team. So, really fun mode. Kind of one of my favorite modes in those shooter games because it's not super fast. Constant respawn or whatever, but it's also not like a battle royale forever. Kind of gives a good mix of both. So
Yeah, it kind of sounds like a what's that game? Battlefield-esque thing. I'll have to try. I haven't opened Halo in a while. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, definitely. Clinton, what have you been playing over there?
A whole lot. Just a bunch of Minecraft.
It's been fun to hear your Minecraft journey, because you never play it with Carl. I don't. You and Carl are in the same server.
Yeah.
And you talked about how, you know, you do an update and then he gets on and he does an update. And it's always fun to see what's next. But I talk with you on this podcast and we hang out. And then Carl and I play another game together without you. And I kind of, I hear what he's working on and what you did. I'm in the middle of it. So it's been a fun game of telephone for someone who knows nothing about Minecraft.
Yeah, I killed the dragon without Carl, and I think I'm mad.
Oh, no.
It was funny because I was, like, in the end doing it, and he logged in. And I was like, oh, no. He's going to see I killed the dragon. And then, yeah, he's like, where are you at? And I just ignored it, and then, like, a minute later had killed the dragon. And it, like, makes a big noise, and, like, a bunch of shit goes off. And, like, gives you an achievement. And that puts it in chat and everything. I was like, that's where I'm at. And he just sent me an angry, frowning face.
What is that like? That's like the end boss, right?
No, there's still two more bosses after that.
Gotcha.
I played a little bit of Fae Tactics. My save got ruined, so I have to start over. I wasn't that far, but whatever. So that was kind of a bummer, but still a fun game. It was. I'll get back to it. But then I caved after a fun night at Clinton's when I had had maybe a few too many beverages, and I bought Pokemon Legends Arceus. And I'm glad I did. I think my drunken convincing, which holds true now, is that, like, this was the Pokemon game every gamer who has grown up playing Pokemon and going, like, when are they going to finally make it, you know, like a 3D adventure? I know they kind of did that with Sword and Shield, but this is more kind of off the rails. It really feels new. Obviously, if you played Pokemon, there's stuff there that you will recognize and enjoy. There are things that would change. I'm not going to go into a deep dive of it today because I feel like I owe it a little more time before I do. But what I will say is I'm enjoying it. And if this is the direction that they're heading in, then, like, more power to them. I'm super excited to see kind of how it changes. But I don't regret it at all. It's been very fun. It's getting really well reviewed. If you like Pokemon, and you ever have, it's never going to be cheaper than, I think it's like $50 on Amazon right now. It's never going to be cheaper than that. Pick it up. It's really fun.
Nice. I definitely want to check it out. I heard there's, like, no trainer battles, which some people are kind of torn on.
That's the one thing. You need trainer battles. You need gym challenges. You just need it. Those are the staples of Pokemon that need to be there in some form. They're not there now. There's no, like, random trainer battles, but you do get challenged by people in the story occasionally, but they only ever have, like, two Pokemon. They put me in a fight last night where I had to fight three Pokemon at once with one. So they are doing some interesting stuff. I think those two staples need to come back in some form. But the catching mechanic, the kind of I struggle calling it a collectathon because I do not like collectathons and I enjoy this. But just while the amount of Pokemon that are out there and the way that they encourage you to catch the same Pokemon multiple times to, like, fill out its Pokedex entry. It's not just catch one, you got it. It's like catch them without being seen, catch five at night, catch large versions, catch small versions, hit them with this type of attack, watch them use this move over and over. I'm not a completionist, so I'm not going to do that, but it is still fun to see. There's so many different kind of, like, dings you get every time you return home. It's like, oh, I just threw three Pokeball three Pokeballs for fun, and I look at all these dings I got. Or like at the beginning, I was coming back from like the wildlands where you actually catch things with like 30, 40 Pokemon, and they all go in a pasture, and you can see them walk around and stuff. And I don't know, it's really interesting. It's fun. It definitely needs to be polished. The graphics look like shit. It's trying to be Zelda, and Zelda did it better 10 years ago. But also, but I don't think that holds me back. I think I think it's in the right direction, and it's really interesting.
Nice. Maybe this is one I'll actually like check out eventually. I don't know. I bought Sword and Shield. I didn't regret it, but I fell off of it so fast. And then I bought the remakes of what were the ones?
Got a Diamond, Brilliant, Pearl.
Yep, and I haven't even started them yet. So, but I don't know. That's on my list to maybe start up soon. So.
I've had a weak spot for, I'd say, monster catching games, but just Pokemon these last couple of years. It's kind of mindless, but it's fun. I don't know. It's been doing it for me.
Yeah, I have thought about even before going back to Pokemon, playing another Monster Sanctuary run, but there is a DLC coming out, so I'm gonna wait for that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, this week, Clinton and Neil and I got together and played a board game. We played the Stardew Valley board game. One of the few board games I know based off a hit indie game out there. So we got together on Sunday and played, and so we're just going to kind of do a little review rundown of that. First off,
is this something that people can go out and get right now? Has supply been restocked?
Let me see.
I think I had played this before. Clinton never has.
Yep.
And it looks like you can't get them. How much is it?
$55.
All right. Cool. I mean, it's a pretty in-depth board game. There are a lot of pieces in that. We had a blast. I had a blast the last time I played it. I was worried about Clinton because all I know about him is he doesn't like resource management games like Catan and stuff like that. But Clinton, what were your initial thoughts?
I had fun. I had a lot of fun. I wasn't, you know, I wasn't managing anything in that game. I didn't count gold. I didn't count hearts. I didn't worry about anything. I just went fished. So.
That is one of the strengths of the game, I feel like, is like every time you play, because so just to kind of set it up, you get four, there's a community center you have to complete, and there's four of Grandpa's goals that are randomly picked. So this could be like make a certain amount of friends, or get to the bottom of the mine, or catch all the legendary fish, things like that. So we had to make 12 friends because it's 3 times the amount of players, and we played, Courtney, my wife, played as well. We had to get to the bottom of the mine, we had to catch all the legendary fish, and we had to build 4 buildings. So I don't want to go through everything in the game because there's so much, but the fun thing is each player has like their own tool and their own like special like profession. So Clinton was the fisher, Neil was the miner, I was the
gatherer. It's not gatherer.
No, is it's it? Not. That's the word I was going to say too.
Forager.
Yeah, forager. And Courtney was the farmer. So, like, she has things that make it so that we can get crops faster or collect more from our animals. And Clinton has things that make it easier for him to catch fish. And Neil has things that make it easier for him to go deeper in the mine. And I have things that, like, make it easier for me to collect things off the board. So I think that's a really big strength, is that next time we play, you know, you can choose to be someone else, and you're going to focus on a different part of the game. It is also a cooperative game, so all of us work together to do something. And I think this is only the second or third time that I've ever won, but it was on the last turn, as it usually is whenever I won. And at a certain point, it seems like it is impossible that you're never going to win. But the deck is kind of set up so that there's seasons. At the end of every season, you get kind of stronger. So when the first season, it seems like you have done absolutely nothing, and you almost get everything done right at the last minute as everybody like kind of snowballs up. So it's kind of interesting. The pacing of the game is a lot different than any other game I've played.
Yeah, I've had The other time we played, we won on the last turn, and I think there was a little more hope in that run. We were kind of like, I think we were waiting on one fish, and it was just like, you know, this is all we need, blah blah blah, and we got lucky and got it. This time, I think we got to. You go through all the seasons.
Two turns left. We had a bunch of shit still to do.
Yeah.
You go through four seasons. You start in the spring. You go spring, summer, fall, winter. Each season has four cards. So you're playing cooperatively. So everybody takes four turns, and then you go to the next season, and things change. I think we had gotten to, you know, the second card of winter and still going like, this is not going to happen. I'm biting my nails. And granted, there was a fair amount of luck in getting some of those things.
I still had like a whole bag of fish as we went into.
Yeah. You feel this sack of fish tiles you pull out of, and there's like 30 in there. It's like, and I need two of them. And there's no way.
And we ran out of fish in the bag in two turns.
I think
yes. All right.
That's a testament to how well it is balanced, I guess.
Yeah. I think the thing is, like, it does kind of mirror the game in that way, because when you first play, you know, usually you're trying to complete Grandpa's goals for 3 years in the game, but that would kind of just take forever. So I think it's kind of balanced in that way and kind of mirrors the game, where it's like, you get done with spring and you're like, well, I didn't have a lot of money because I just started and I don't have a lot of this. And like, think about our farm now, Neil, where like everything's automated. We make like millions of dollars every day in our actual game, where it's very similar in the board game, where it's like, okay, we have nothing. And now suddenly we have all these tools to help us gather everything we need. I like it. I think that it's a testament and a kind of a struggle that there is so much to it, because I've played it maybe four or five times now and still I'm like, how the hell does this work? Or I will completely forget about a mechanic, or, you know, you can during one turn, just off the top of my head, you can gather resources from your animals, you can buy buildings, you can buy animals, you can buy and plant seeds, you can water your plants, you can go fishing, you can go in the mine, you can harvest things, you can open geodes, and
you can make a friend. Yes,
you can make a friend at the bar. You can't, like, and that's so, and all those things have their own mechanics that go with them that involve dice rolls and all that kind of stuff. And I don't think any of them, what saves the game is none of the mechanics are particularly hard. Like, it's not like you have to read the rules nine times. It's like, roll two dice and then here's a chart for what happens. But sometimes it's like, man, how does this work again? But it's still fun.
I think obviously it has to mirror the game, because it's based on the game. But I think a lot of one of the things that kind of impressed me was some of the little things, like you can only upgrade your tools. So like, each profession has a tool, and you need a certain resource to get it. And then of course, like, even in the game, when you're playing Stardew Valley, you're like, oh, I finally have 5 silver. I'm gonna go get my copper pick turned into iron or something. But then you have to pause and go, wait a minute, that means I don't have it tomorrow. And in the game, in the board game, you can only do it at the end of the turn. So you might get what you need, and then you kind of get excited about it, and you're like, wait, but I can't do it now. And also, in doing your upgrade, it means you can't do a number of the other things that you, whatever you call, end-turned actions. So yeah. there is a fair amount of kind of, I don't want to call it sacrifice, but like, it's time management and risk management. What is going to help me the most, the quickest?
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel like that when I've gone back to Stardew, it's like, I know how to be successful. So instead of like the super chill experience I had the first time, like, just figure it out and, you know, go day to day. It's like, when I go back to it now, it's like, okay, I know I need all of these crops to get this by the end of the blah, blah, blah. And then I'll have all of it by the end of the first year. And I can, it feels like more of a speed run of Stardew Valley than it does the real experience.
Yeah, that is one thing that's kind of missing from the board game, is like the exploration, because there's there's tons of cards in there, and I really want to be able, there's like so many, there's item cards, there's tons of items, there's all these events, there's all these event cards and stuff, and it's like I want to see them all. And because you're pushing so much so forward to make sure you get everything done, there's never like a time where you're like, oh, look at all this stuff that happened this game. Like, you're just kind of move forward so fast. But there's so much, I think that that's just to make it so every time you play, you see different stuff.
Yeah. Because
I've played so much, and I have never gotten the horse item, which allows you, like, move across the board way faster.
Mirror the events that happen like while you're sleeping in Stardew Valley. Like we got a giant harvest. We got a giant crop, and there was another one I recognized. But I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, we did not get a lot of crows this game, which was really nice. Crows will ruin your crops, and I think we pulled like maybe two. Yeah, we played a game once where it felt like our crops were getting destroyed every time, which I think is like, it does make every game different. Also, another thing that helps it with there being so many, you know, rules or mechanics, is the book is really well laid out. It has like really great graphics and art in it to begin with. And then it also just says like, hey, on the board, it will be like, you know, mine. And it will say page 23, it like says it on the board, that you can go and look in the manual right away. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty nice. So
I had fun. The mechanics of it were a lot of fun too. I like the different like dice. So there's dice that have like different symbols on them, hearts, those, and starfruit.
Yep.
Starfruit, the star drop. Yeah. And you know, they have different amounts of them. I think there's more hearts than anything. Dice only starfruit. And so you have to get specific rolls on the dice to, like, you know, get better fish or certain fish or better mining results and stuff. So it makes it a lot of fun. Like, you know, everyone is doing different things with the dice. So, like, I'm rolling three of them and trying to get, you know, X amount of symbols. Whereas Neil is rolling two and then consulting a chart to see kind of what his reward from mining was. Which was, you know, pretty interesting. And then, you know, to make friends, you have to take. So then we would trade off at the end. Like, so I would trade my fish to Courtney, and Courtney would take the fish, and she'd go to town. She'd try to make friends with the crops that she was growing, and she would take my fish that I had caught, and, you know, if they like fish, she would give them fish and get extra hearts for it. And we were doing so well on that by the end, and we were just, you know, I had a thing that was giving us hearts and stuff. So by the end, we had so many hearts that we had, you know, overflown the bank on it. Mark.
Yeah.
How many hearts we had. And, you know, it never really actually came into, you know, play because we were making so many hearts all the time. You know, it's interesting, you know. Different playthroughs will give you a different way that you skills and things.
So I mean, there's a grandpa's card that's like unlock all of the museum, and you can unlock the museum, you can fill the museum even if you don't have that card. But we just didn't have a reason to do it,
we never tried for it, so we only ever got, you know, like two museum pieces. So,
and right. We ended up selling them.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it wasn't even worth it. So there is an aspect of the game that we didn't even play. And I think that mirrors Stardew, which Stardew is really just a bunch of different tiny games you can play.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, I never rolled mine. I never went to go mining.
And I never went fishing.
Yeah. I've never had to do the museum. Yeah, I think we may have sold one of the things, and I think we had given one as a gift because someone liked minerals. But I've never had to do the museum, and I've never really had anything that had me get a lot of animals. That would be another thing that you would use hearts on. You can spend a heart at the end of your turn to pet an animal and make it start giving you quality animal products. Yeah. So, you know, if we had that, maybe we wouldn't have been so over full on hearts, because we ended up with like a chicken. And I think at the very end, I grabbed the duck because I had an extra turn or something.
Yeah.
And we had so much money. But yeah, it's a really well put together game for something that honestly could have just been a cash grab.
Yeah, it's a fun game. It's well thought out. You know, like you're saying, like it really seems like you're struggling. And I think that's a good testament to how balanced it is. You know, even adding an extra player or two, they do a good job of, like, you know, you have to do this three times the amount of players that you have. So if you're playing with three people, you know, it's a little bit easier. If you're playing with two, it's a little easier. But if you're playing with four, it's a little harder. And I think it does a good job at balancing out, like, kind of the amount of extra turns that you get with having an extra person. And I think it really, you know, balanced out well. I also think that if we hadn't built the house, we would not have won.
Yes.
Because I was getting extra fishing turns. Because, yeah, we built the house, and when you built the house, you automatically get to draw the mermaid pin. Let you get an extra pawn to play with. So you can trade it around, whoever has the most kind of advantageous mate choice, I suppose. Then you can use them for, you know,
some would call them spouses.
Mate.
This is my mate. fucking Nat Geo over here.
I mean, what else are you gonna call them? You're just using them for
fishing,
resource gathering. They're your mate,
right? And they're usually on the opposite side of the board as you, because why would they be in the same side as you?
Yeah. But yeah, so we were struggling with fishing because, you know, the bag was still full despite me having gone fishing every single turn. So, you know, we got to use an extra pawn to get me a mate and
yeah,
make
I think
her
that was
go out and fish as well.
I think that was the first game I had played where someone got married. That's a fun little mechanic to, like, you basically get to take another half a turn. Like, every player gets to take two actions their turn, and if you're married, you that player gets a third action at the end of everyone's turn. So that's kind of a nice little thing. But yeah, definitely. Yeah, and so we every game you can build the barn or the coop, the barn and the coop. And there's a stack of buildings, and you draw two at the beginning of the game, and you can only build those two buildings. So it was just by chance that we only got to build the house. So.
Yeah, I think the house is probably one of the more expensive ones.
Yeah, it did cost a lot, but it was definitely worth it. So, yeah, if you like Stardew Valley, like, this is a really fun game to play. It's cooperative as well, so if you... I mean, it's probably a little hard for kids, but if you have people that, you know, get competitive or whatever, and you don't want to deal with that, you can do this, and people won't get fighting.
I wonder what the box says, but this is like 12 and up at least.
Yeah, probably. You know,
a lot of things to keep track of, you know.
Yeah. But if you're an adult keeping track, and you're just like, okay, now you roll the dice, you can catch this fish, you know, maybe. Maybe, but yeah. If you like Stardew Valley, definitely check this out. And the art's all great. And it was worked on by Eric Barone, who made Stardew Valley with the board game maker. So it's all, like, sanctioned by him, and it's all part of that. So,
and all the artwork is great from the as far as
it goes. Yeah. So yeah, you can go to shop.stardewvalley.net, and it's available there. For $55. There, the one thing, as you know, be prepared if you're buying this game the first time you play, make sure you have, like, Ziploc bags or something, because there's a crap load of pieces and a crap load of cards, and you need
it takes
place
a while to
set
up, but it's not too
no,
we definitely
really
played well way longer than it.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, you just kind of get your cards sorted out, and you're pretty good. And then read through, and there's also really great YouTube videos on how to play as well, which I've been a big fan of. Now,
whenever you play a board game, go watch a YouTube video, and also just play without knowing how to play it. You'll figure it out. that's just how you learn a board game.
Yeah, the YouTube videos have been great, but I definitely would like to play again, And because I've never done, you know, the museum. I've never gotten into the animal thing. There's a couple of goals I haven't done. There's tons of events that I have not seen. So we should get together and play.
Yep.
Again, we should invite our buddy, other friends, other Stardew friends as well.
That's only 4 player, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But I'm saying, cycle them out. So, but yeah, I definitely check this out. It's actually pretty amazing that they'd made a game that felt so close to a video game that I've played. So.
Yeah, I was wondering how they might do that with other games. There have to be some. There has to be a Star Wars. It's the Blizzard game.
StarCraft.
Thank you. There has to be a turn-based strategy board game or something. I'm sure they have Risk, but that's not really what I'm thinking of.
Yeah. So I put in board games based on video games. Words with Friends. Isn't that just
okay? For sure, that's just like
a video game based on.
Isn't that just Scrabble?
Yeah.
So now it's a board game based on a video game based on a board game.
So there's Civilization has a board game, Doom has a board game, Fallout, Resident Evil 2, the board game, XCOM has a board game.
I would play that Doom game. That would be fun.
Right? This War of Mine has a board game, Portal, the uncooperative cake acquisition game.
What?
Sounds fun. There's the Witcher adventure game, the Street Fighter deck building game, and Betrayal at Baldur's Gate.
Oh, hey, Clinton. You know what's coming out?
Hmm.
They're making a table. You're already so stoked and you're going to hate this. They're making a tabletop RPG kind of based on D&D 5e for Dark Souls. I don't want to play it.
Dark Souls, an expansion or like a supplement?
Yeah. Dan sent me a text and I was like, I've played through all the games multiple times and I can't tell you a single thing about the story. There's no way that this will make any sense.
I think you guys should play. I'd get involved for Dark Souls D&D. I would. I'm saying right now, it's recorded.
I wouldn't even know how to roleplay it. Nobody talks.
For sure. I don't even like either of those things, but I'd do it just to experience it. All right. Any final thoughts on that board game?
Worth your time.
Dan, you crack me up, Dan. You say you hate story games.
Uh-huh.
You hate role playing.
Uh-huh.
You are so very pumped that you keep posting GIFs in the Discord about a role playing game that you're signed up for.
Oh yeah. That's like a game show game though.
That's a role playing game. It's just D&D without the rules.
I would say it's D&D without the rules. It's kind of like I don't know what you call those games where you have
just
a secret.
A shittier version of D&D.
Maybe that's what I'm into, baby. I want dumbass D&D.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't think you'll play Dark Souls D&D either, so
I'll give it a shot.
It's a combination of two of your least favorite things.
He doesn't even know if D&D is his least favorite thing. He's played it once while we were very drunk and hungover at a in the middle of vacation when everyone's like zero energy.
It was it happened. I was there. Yeah. I experienced it.
I was present.
Well, it's kind of like you know, when we had you play like Metal Gear Solid.
I played for like 4 hours.
Yeah, and that's why, and when, you know, that's where the fun comes in, from having you experience something you are so unfamiliar with and not into.
Oh, wait, you mean Final Fantasy, not Metal Gear Solid.
No, both were very funny, but I just remember you saying, I was Metal Gear Solid. Yeah.
No, he said I was Big Boss or something, didn't he?
I said everything because I'm still not sure what his name is.
For sure.
Well, if you want to know what Neil said, you can go back and listen to the episode.
Are you gonna? Yeah. Okay. It's
probably titled "I Was Big Boss" or "I Was Metal Gear" or something.
It probably is titled that.
It was one where we reviewed Game Pass games.
Yep. Yeah. And yeah, we have a whole big backlog you can go listen to. There is no paywall. There's no Patreon.
Yeah.
There's nothing. We literally just do this for fun.
We do. We don't really give a shit if you listen or not. So we appreciate you listening.
Yeah. You can I don't know if we've asked in a long time, but
it's DJ. Thanks, DJ, for listening.
Oh yeah.
We appreciate you listening.
Are we gonna name our five people we know listening? Yeah,
yeah. Thanks, Pat, for listening. We appreciate
it. Thanks, Pat. Listening. Yeah, a couple of people. Thanks, Sam, every once in a while.
Yeah,
every
Sam and Nikki when he drives up north.
To be fair, that's when I listen to podcasts too, so I get it, Sam.
Yeah. So I mean, hey, you know, whatever. But,
No, you're right. It's called I Was Metal Gear Solid, August 2nd, 2019.
There you go.
Go check it out.
All right. Take us home, Dan.
All right. Well, short episode this week. We vary all the time. So, you know, come in next week for our 3 hour.
In on this one.
Yeah, right. Come in next week for our 3 hour marathon. We're
doing trivia next week.
Oh, yeah. We're doing trivia next week. I gotta get some games. Okay, get your thinking hats on for us next week to do some more video game trivia.
Let's think of a new format
for the trivia.
We'll just formats every trivia.
All right, it sounds good.
I like goofy trivia. Yeah,
for sure. So we'll see you next week. Get stoked for that. Oh wait, Neil says wait.
No, we're good. This is behind the curtain.
Okay, sorry. We're gonna close the curtain now. Goodbye, everybody.